A crossover is...
Crossover dribble.
Sing for the crossover.
Kyrie Irving, crossover in the lane.
One of the most famous crossovers of all time.
Behind the back, an ankle breaker on Chris Paul.
Crossover.
Crossover.
Crossover, double crossover.
The crossover continues to evolve.
All right, time for the crossover. Hello, my Friday Night Light friend.
Hello, Gary Sharp. Hello, Nick
Good to
Hanley.
See you.
Hi.
Hello, Josh Hodson.
Hello.
Hey, Josh.
So what's going on today, guys? Anything? Anything important in the world of sports?
Hockey starts tomorrow night.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
Why?
Do that hockey.
We didn't even know what was going on.
I did.
It disappeared for a while. I didn't know the Stanley Cup final was still a thing.
First-time champion.
I'm being very sarcastic.
They're like, you know, we like what happened in the Eastern Conference Finals and the Western. Hey, let's just let it be that.
It has been out of sight, out of mind for a bit.
I will say, I was...
Not good for the sport.
Much more entertained by last year's Stanley Cup playoffs. I think it was just...
I wasn't because I hate the Colorado Avalanche.
Well...
That's as a Chicago
Blackhawks.
That's
a different story.
Yeah, I have my own reasons.
I don't know. I felt like the games were a little more exciting in the early rounds. You had that Edmonton-Calgary matchup was fantastic.
Anytime you have Connor McDavid going far into the playoffs.
Well, Colorado didn't – like Nathan McKinnon's fun to watch too, and he didn't really – Colorado didn't make it far enough.
So this is a short week, and you're a good person to ask, maybe.
Okay.
Because you work from home.
I do.
You work independently with all the projects you got going on. A four-day work week. Josh, is this attainable in radio to do a four-day work week? Because as I've jokingly all week said, we have a short week and a four-day work week. Do you know there are a couple of like rather large corporations in this town that have already gone to a four-day work week?
Yeah. In radio.
Are they hiring? No, I'm just
kidding. I think you've got to have the programming. Are you just going to
go
national? Go to LinkedIn, right?
We were all thinking it.
Yep. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
Are you going to go national programming on the fifth day? Is that what's going to happen?
Oh, could you stagger shows?
Oh, no. Okay, that's interesting.
Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Like the afternoon guys do Tuesday through Friday. Morning does Monday through Thursday.
Yeah.
So you always have local shows Monday through Friday.
And the midday guy gets Wednesday off.
You maybe, You maybe put like a like a podcast.
What shift is that? When your day's off for the middle of the week? Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what shift that is, but if you stagger him, he might be onto something there, Gary.
I like this. You know what? Save the company some money. You don't have to turn the lights on a Friday.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry
maybe
about.
It's a little more doable than I thought.
You champion this cause, and I'm right there with you.
Hey. That should be when we get a new general manager here. That should be the first thing when you sit down with him. Go, what's your feeling on a 4-day work week in radio on air?
I'm going to blow your mind, sir or ma'am.
Here's how it could work.
Do you know? And then you'd have this whole like background of what they've done in Japan and China with 4-day work weeks and how productive they've been.
Yeah.
And then you could hit them with like some other Fortune 500 companies in Omaha that have gone to a 4-day work week and look at what their profit margin has become.
Oh, but Gary, think about the...
Can I interest you in a Monday through Thursday schedule, sir?
Think about the copy deadlines, though. Oh, that would throw everything up in a frenzy. Man, anytime we get like the 3-day work weekends, like, okay, copy is due on Thursday at this time. Like, oh, I don't know. And that's like, you know, once every few months that you have to deal with that. Having to deal with that every
Just
week.
Become a nurse. Three 12-hour shifts, boom, your week's over.
Firefighters.
When I was
week on, week off.
I had a union job.
Yep. That would throw me off.
I had a union job for a year, and like when we were working out of town and had to stay in a hotel, we would do a 4-day week so that we would have
a travel day.
The fifth day was driving back home, and so
that's good.
You did 4/12.
So you actually get a weekend. One of those weekend days is not spent traveling.
Yep.
I mean, they're thinking of you.
So back to the firefighter.
Back to the firefighter.
Is that a universal schedule?
I don't think
week
that
on,
is
week off.
I don't think that's a universal schedule. I think it varies, and I think some of that is. I could be speaking out of turn here, but on seniority, how long you've actually been a firefighter, where you get a little bit more say in your schedule. But yeah, I remember one of the guys actually an official for the NCHC. He's a linesman, and I think. He is at the downtown fire station. He's the What do you call like the
captain?
The captain. Yeah, I think he's the captain, the chief there. Scott Fitzpatrick. And I remember he and I used to coach baseball together a little bit, and he would tell me like, okay, yeah, this is my week where I'm on, so couldn't make certain games. But then he'd have the week off where, you know, we could balance practice schedules and stuff. And he was relatively new with Omaha Fire Department at that time. So yeah, I don't know if it's universal across the board though, week on, week off. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty common where maybe you have like a 4-day stretch, then you get three off, then another four or five, then, you know, three off. So yeah, it's you'll work consecutive days, but then you'll get consecutive days off, more than just two, more than just a weekend. And but I mean, it's 24-hour days. I mean, you're there, you're living at the firehouse. So,
but another, when I was in the military,
could we do a full week, 7 days on and then seven days off the air?
No,
we just got to stagger our weeks.
Well, kind of in our business, you do.
That's true.
There are stretches where you work every day.
That is true.
But this isn't considered work, boys.
No. No. This is fun.
We are entertaining the masses and talking about donuts.
Especially in the fall into the winter, when it's like football season, basketball season, especially for me. It's like, I think I did 17 game broadcasts in 19 days
at one point
last fall between Creighton and high school football. I was still going to Kansas City to do those NWSL games. Yeah. So yeah, there are stretches where you don't get much downtime.
Even if you're not technically on the air.
Right.
You're working.
Well, there's a thing, I don't know if you guys know about this, called prep.
Well, yeah.
You have to do
watching games too.
Never heard of it.
Watching games of the weekend. Collecting your thoughts on it.
I got your first poll question of the day, because it is National Donut Day.
Lay it on me.
I wanted to weigh in on this.
Does a donut taste better when it's served on a plate? Because like if you're a little bit older and you happen to live in a part of the country where they had Dunkin' Donuts, so the Dunkin' Donuts like 25 years ago were completely different. They had a counter, and like the donuts, you know, were behind, but you had somebody that waited on you, but you came up to the counter to sit down and they would serve you coffee and donuts. It wasn't as much of a drive through or just get in and get out. Mm-hmm. They wanted you to stay at the Dunkin' Donuts, but they would serve you a donut on a plate.
And you ate it with a knife and a fork?
No,
and you
would
put your napkin in your lap.
You would still go with your paws,
like the Snickers.
Well, the last time you had a donut served on a plate,
I think I got to go back to the days of Millard and Dandy Donuts. Just a little, right next to a laundromat.
Gosh, I don't.
That would be it. Dandy Donuts.
I don't know the last time I had a donut on.
I would have been a teen.
Winchell's, 1992.
Which they have a counter, don't they?
Yes, they do. Yeah. I think Winchell's probably still does serve it on a plate.
Yeah,
or at least some type of, it might be a paper plate, but yes.
So you guys were having the debate about like the go-to place versus the fancy donuts.
Yes.
And if you look, like my favorite place to go for like the specialty fancy donut is Sweet Magnolias. You know where that's at? Right over to Lisa's Radio. They have some killer donuts.
What is the place? Have any of you guys gone to? There's a donut shop in Blair that is supposed to be. I got to find it.
Ask me when the last time I was in Blair was.
Well, my brother lives in Blair now. But
when was the last time you were in Blair, John?
Yeah, when was it?
I think it was probably like 1999 playing a high school football game.
Jim and Connie's Blair Bakery. Apparently, and Sharpie, you're a fritter fan like myself. Apparently, some of the best fritters you'll ever have.
Small towns probably have some of the best donut shops. Because they're just bakeries. They do a little bit of everything, but they specialize in the donuts because they got a lot of people that begin their day by discussing all the world issues right there in their donut shop or bakery.
With the donut.
They have a little coffee.
Yep.
They have their own coffee cup.
Yes.
Okay, so they house your coffee cup or you bring it in with you.
Yep.
You solve the world's issues and then you leave. Yeah, small towns.
I'm honestly more likely to go cinnamon roll than donut when I go to those places because small town cinnamon roll... Mm-hmm. That's the way you do it.
But you don't celebrate on National Donut Day. You don't celebrate the cinnamon roll. The cinnamon roll and the donut cannot crisscross.
And I feel like cinnamon roll has
its
own day.
Don't cross the street.
There's got to be a National Cinnamon Roll Day.
There's a day for everything.
Or Cinnabon.
You got a good shot there.
Or sticky buns.
No, now you're getting into... Now, we've gotten away from the The reason for the season is donut day.
October 4th is National Cinnamon Roll Day.
Okay. That'd be great with chili.
And then that's the day that everybody that used to live in Lincoln would say, I remember the Miller Payne cinnamon rolls. I never had a Miller Payne cinnamon roll.
I've never had one either.
I know the name.
But to be Lincoln-ish, I would say, oh, man, this just brings back memories of Miller and Payne. Those cinnamon rolls they used to have. And you'd pause and you'd be like, oh, man, where'd you go to high school at? I went to Southeast. Hell yeah, man. You should have seen me. I was balling at Prosh Activity Center. All right, what do you got coming up on the show?
So yesterday.
Well, no, I'm not asking about yesterday. No. What, are you going to replay yesterday's show?
Yes, we're going to replay.
Great
idea. It's just a redo. It's a rerun.
Radio replay.
No, yesterday I explained that I don't know anything about the NBA now because I just stopped watching it once I had a child. It got pushed to the back burner. So I did an NBA Finals preview from a guy who knows nothing about the NBA now. And it was basically just my observations. It was kind of fun. So I actually watched the game last night. So now I'm going to do a breakdown.
Not a great game to watch.
It wasn't a great game to watch. No.
How impressed were you of the Joker?
You know what? I'm going to get to that.
Okay.
That's a big part of what I want to talk about.
Okay. So as a fringe NBA guy in and out, were you more impressed by Jokic or Rocky, the mascot for the Nuggets, who makes $625,000 a year?
Highest paid in the league.
Yeah.
That's
ahead of the Atlanta Hawk one. Mm-hmm. Like, how does he make so much? The Atlanta Hawk mascot does nothing compared to Rocky.
Is that $625,000 like what he gets paid flat out? Or is there some type of endorsement that, you know, in appearances and everything that he's got to make?
No, it's all like part of his deal. He's a full-time employee of the Nuggets.
Damn.
He's making like league minimum.
The appearances at dispensaries are extra money for him.
He does that for product.
Hey, so in that world, the guy, and he was Ibis, the Hurricane mascot, Sebastian forever.
Yep.
And he I remember him telling this story, and like by the times that, you know, Nebraska and Colorado, Nebraska and Miami in the heydays of playing in the Orange Bowl, and you'd see that mascot, his name was John. He was like in his mid-40s. It wasn't a college guy. Mm. So because he made that his business, but he tells a story. Like, the most he ever made in a year of being the mascot for the University of Miami was, like, I don't know, $75,000. And then his body couldn't do all that stuff. But it wasn't a college kid like most mascots are. He was a pro mascot.
Was he the Ibis that got flagged for?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Historical. So he got out of it, I don't know, 20 years ago or something. Now, compared to the mascots, the pro mascots that make a lot of money, from Rocky to the Atlanta Hawk mascot, I think is like at $600K. And then the gorilla makes a lot of money. I mean, professional mascots, you're doing pretty well for yourself.
No kidding.
He was impressive climbing the seats when they showed him in the
He's
in the
funny.
Stands. Yeah.
He is good. Great. But he's
I did not know they made that much.
What is the
rappelling from the roof and
what is the requisite skill set to even get into the business? You need like a degree in interpretive dance or
you gotta have some athleticism though.
You need gymnastics background.
Yeah, you gotta be athletic, you gotta be creative. Mm-hmm. You definitely have to be a people person. But I think I don't know that, you know, as a 40-year-old guy, you walk into the Nuggets front office and go, hey, I'd like to be the mascot. I mean, it's serious. They have
I'm sure there's
you go
tryouts.
To you go to camps and stuff, and they have they basically have schools to learn how to be a mascot.
Is there an Elite 11?
I think there is. That would be that's a good summertime topic.
An Elite 11, 11 this, for mascots.
This sounds like an Amazon Prime documentary coming soon.
I would totally get on board with that.
Next, you'll be saying they should have their own schools.
They do have their own. Don't fight. Don't ever remove your head.
Yeah.
I mean, we've all been a mascot at one time, right?
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Never not even a school, like not a school. Business. You were down and out. Instead of donating plasma or having your sleep studied,
I never did the sign spinner. I never put on the mascot.
Would that be a good reality show? So you want to be a mascot? Like, I think that would be. Even if there was an Elite 11.
There's something there.
Yeah, I think there could be something there.
I enjoyed being a mascot. Now, I made the mistake when I was in high school, the whole take off your head thing. I was hot.
Yeah.
And so... While I'm standing next to the cheerleaders, I took off the head because I was like sweating, and people frowned upon that.
I got a question. This is kind of
and also I made a mistake if I was talking to people.
This would be kind of a. I don't love that I'm asking this question.
Well, I mean, you're in a high school mascot outfit. You know, people kind of know who you are because you'd been telling people, hey, tonight I get to be the mascot. Hey, I was talking to people. Like, hey, how's it going? Oh, okay. You know, and they're coming up and they're punching you and stuff, and you're like, come on, man.
When it comes to mascot protocol, I don't love that I'm asking this, but I'm inquisitive. When there's a serious injury on the field or on the floor, and you're the mascot that's got, like, the huge smiling face, whatever it might be, is it then acceptable to take your mascot head off?
It's never acceptable.
So you can show that you are also, like, in a very somber state, as opposed to just seeing, looking out on the field or the court of what's going on when someone is, you know, having a real serious medical situation, and you're like,
no, you can't have little Billy thinking that the mascot has been decapitated. You got to keep that on.
I feel like it's appropriate to go ahead and take your helmet or your mask off to show people that you are also concerned.
You don't take it off during the anthem.
But I could see you speak. It's okay to smile.
Old Herbie that would take off his hat during the national anthem. You're like,
you can see that lettuce.
The Ravens mascot this past year blew out his Achilles on the field right before a game. Ooh. They had to bring a cart out and haul him off.
And he had a
drumstick injury.
Did he have to keep his head on?
Drumstick.
Did he have to keep his head on, though?
Oh, yeah. But he, like, went down and didn't get back up. And, like, people were like, what do we
do? Is this a bit?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Well, you would think it's a bit. Yeah, because everything,
like,
they do is a bit.
Somebody walked out there, and this guy was like, yeah, I think I'm in trouble. And they had to bring the cart out before a game.
Well, then he broke one of the rules because you're not supposed to talk to people in the suit.
Hey, tell me what's bothering you.
I think if I'm wearing a Raven outfit and I blow my Achilles, I'm probably talking to somebody.
Make a balloon animal. Show me what's hurting. No.
Make me a bicycle, clown.
I just feel like if I'm amongst the party that's tending to an injured player and I kind of, you know, you're – kind of looking around, all of a sudden you just see the mascot just sitting there going. I just feel like that would be weird. I feel like it'd be okay then to take your headpiece off.
No, you can never take the head off.
I think
because
I'm right
on kids,
this.
They'll be like, they'll be petrified.
Well, I think they would be petrified of what's going on. Their attention is not on you yet.
I think the proper etiquette is to just lie face down on the ground.
Or do you just disappear? Does the mascot just leave? The mascot gets away from the area, so no one could see him just sitting there looking at someone who's in some significant pain going,
well, okay, so back in the days of the Kingdom, there's a great blooper video of the Moose, the Mariner mascot, was being pulled by a cart. He had a rope, like he was water skiing, but he was on rollerblades, and he got too far, and he crashed right into the outfield wall and broke his ankle. And so he went down, and he was laying on the warning track. And by then, people realized, okay, we're in trouble here. So they came out and, like, scooped him up and just moved him along.
They scooped him up with a big old shovel.
Scraped him off the road like roadkill. Hey,
mascots have hit a whole nother level because they've been outlawed from those little kid football games that they do at halftime.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, we got
the
Atlanta Falcon halftime game. You got the Braves mascot, stiff arms
trucking
a kid.
People.
Oh, the Minnesota mascot, Goldie the Gopher. Like, he ran over a kid. And like hurt the kid.
Well, right
the
here,
kid
in
got
Omaha.
A concussion.
Yeah,
oh, that's right.
Durango did.
Durango,
yeah. Durango did. So the Goldie the Gopher, there's a real funny one you can find. It involved some of the officials that used to be with the WCHA. But I think they're doing it's a playoff game, and Goldie the Gopher is skating around. It's before both teams are coming out on the ice, and then. So as Goldie's skating around, then comes to a stop. He's got his back to the officials. The officials are all of a sudden they come out, and they skate, and one of the guys who you probably know him, Don Adam. He's now the director of the officials. He plows into Goldie and knocks the head off. Oh, it's hilarious. And so he goes, one of my claims of fame is I terrified kids because I ran into Goldie Gopher and knocked his head off as we were coming out on the ice. Oh, it's great, and you can find this on YouTube. It's fantastic. I would think if I'm like a 5-year-old and I saw that, I know it's popular to always hate the refs, especially in hockey, to always be on the refs. This would probably make me hate them even more, or I'd be very terrified of what I just saw. Because it looked like they literally decapitated Goldie.
Do kids really not know that there's a person in there? Is that a thing?
There's a lot of teenagers are just a little bit confused.
Depends on the parent too.
They still got questions.
That's a topic we're not going to get into.
They wonder
this
if the Easter Bunny
station,
and
Gary.
Santa Claus are still going to show up at the house or the Tooth Fairy.
If you have a question about a kid, if he really understands what's going on with the mascot, show me his parents and I'll tell you if he understands or not. Okay.
So does Reese
know what's going on with mascots?
We keep it real with Reese.
All right.
We'll keep it. You know what? He's already already suspicious about Christmas. He's not even three yet.
I'll let Uncle Gary take care of him. I'll let him know.
Let him know that's a thing. Yeah, because he's already kind of suspicious.
At that age?
Yeah. Yeah, he's suspicious.
What about your son?
He's, I think, so we've been sort of wishy-washy about all of the Santa Claus, Easter Bunny stuff. We're just like, yeah, some people believe in it. You know, we haven't like, so we don't really want to like go all the way in and be like, yeah, it's all real, you know? So we've just been like, yeah, some people believe in it. It's a fun thing we do. And so he's just like, I don't know. I don't know if this is actually a thing, but I'm going to keep going with it. Like, you know, he likes the idea of it, but I don't think he actually is down with the program. I don't know. It's hard to tell.
Well, Reese has already called us out a few times. We said, oh, look what Santa brought. And he's like, mommy did that. No. Well, she got it from Santa. So, yeah, he's a little whippersnapper's already. He's on to us.
Kid more scared by a mascot or a clown?
Mascot.
I don't know. My kid likes clowns.
So,
he thinks they're great.
Mascot because every time he goes
good
to a hockey game.
About 15 years down the road when he's dressing as one and robbing banks and stuff like that.
Oh, thank you, Gary. My son's going to be a bank robber. Nice prediction.
Well, at least I didn't say a murderer.
Reese loves seeing Durango from afar, but my wife has tried to get pictures with Reese and Durango at hockey games, and he's terrified. So he likes to keep his distance.
No, when we went to Disneyland, he was totally cool taking pictures with all the characters and everything. So,
but aren't the Disneyland mascots, the Disney mascots, different? They're recognizable. Like you never see like Mickey and Goofy on TV like in a Hell in the Cell brawl.
Yeah, there's not a generic mouse running around like there are clowns. There's generic clowns.
There are.
And you're supposed to just walk up to them and be friendly with them because it's a clown.
Well, you don't know what their agenda is.
We had a topic on crossover last week about clowns. We may or may not have disparaged the clown industry.
Oh, it was just about, is it okay for an adult person to honk a clown's nose?
And the public ruled that no, it is not.
Yeah, which I think is accurate.
You'd probably get a misdemeanor for that.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather was a clown at the Shrine Circus.
Did he also get to drive the car?
He didn't.
No. And the motorcycles?
So in the Shrine organization, there's different groups. There's like the clowns, there's the guys who drive the cars, there's the... you know, the guys who are like the parade masters and all those things. There's
a hierarchy,
subgroups within the organization.
Clicks.
Yeah.
Does it also go like what kind of hat you get?
It actually, like, what it says on your hat changes based on really? which group you're in.
I would think about joining the Shriners just to get the hat and be able to drive one of the mini cars.
I don't think you get to do that just right away. I think that's a thing you have to work
up
to.
Pay your dues.
When somebody tells me,
what do you have to pay your dues? Like, what do you got to do?
Be there for a while, hang out.
Is there a certain level?
Dedicate some time to volunteering.
Is there a certain level of like birthday parties? Like, oh, you got to go to the 4-year-old birthday party before you get to the better one. So you got to go through a year of that.
So I couldn't just leave here and go over. What is it? They're off of 84th.
Yep.
And just go, hey,
I want to drive a car.
Hey,
no,
I know you got a big parade coming up this weekend. It's parade season. Mm-hmm. I'd like to drive one of the cars.
It's a big deal. Like, there's a whole initiation process you have to go through.
To drive the car or be the Shriner?
Just to be in the organization.
Do you get hazed?
Because I got a pretty good driving record.
Well, if you want that cut, you got to earn it.
But then, like, once you're in one of the groups.
You want to talk about clown hazing?
It becomes
a
tight group. Like, my grandparents used to have all the guys who were in the clowns and their families. Oh, like, they would come to their house on the weekends.
Costume.
Not in costume, Gary. But
you just make me think of Crazy Joe DiVola.
They were always hanging out together. It was like it's sort of like a men's club at that point.
Like,
now, how come you're not a Shriner? Because that would make perfect sense.
John Shriner, the Shriner.
It's a little too on the nose for me.
Makes sense.
Oh, Or it could just be a fantastic.
I feel your vibe.
John Schreiner is a Schreiner.
Yeah. It was my mom's dad, so it was on the other side of the family. He was in he was Moneybags the Clown.
What was his
that was his name?
What was his bit? Yep.
Moneybags the Clown?
Did he make it rain?
Yeah. He gave chocolate coins to the kids.
Oh,
very sweet.
Okay. Yeah. So he literally had bags of money.
Did he get to choose his own clown name?
Yes. You get to choose your own clown name. You make your own costume. Like, my grandmother sewed his entire costume.
Really?
Yeah. He had this big green hat with a dollar sign on it. Yeah. It was cool. Oh.
All right.
When the circus was in town, they would hang out outside the arena and, like, greet people and have fun with the kids as they were walking in and hand out candy and that sort of thing. So each chapter in the major cities has their own clowns unit where they, when the circus comes to town, they're in charge of the greeting.
Is there a union for that?
A clown's union?
A clown's union?
I don't know.
Because that's what I thought you were going to say when you said clown unit.
Oh, there's got
to
be.
There's a joke in there, but we got to stick to sports.
Is there a clown union? World Clown Association.
Yep.
Yes. I figured there probably was.
WCA. Fighting for the rights of clowns.
They're protecting their own. Have to. It's a dog-eat-dog world, man.
I mean, they're depicted in movies and stuff.
No.
Clowns are not portrayed as being these lovable, welcoming people. They're like serial
Stephen
killers.
King ruined the image of clowns.
Yeah. Well, I think George Costanza probably also did not do well for clowns.
I don't feel
Seinfeld
like...
Seinfeld as a whole.
I don't feel like before...
Yeah, Crazy Joe DiVola.
Stephen King wrote
John Favreau.
People were afraid of clowns. I don't feel like that was a thing.
It wasn't an actual human clown. It was a clown doll that comes to life in Poltergeist is what did it for me.
Hmm.
So you think maybe also people were more apt to go pet strange dogs, and then Cujo came out, and they're like, not a chance.
Probably. any kid that saw Cujo, if you are ready to like love the neighbor's dog, no.
Cujo is one of those movies terrifying as a child.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
Not as an adult.
I wanted that movie to end so fast.
As an adult, you see that there's maybe little hiccups in the filming of this and the believability.
Yeah. There was strategy that I felt was ignored.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But as a kid, you don't know those avenues.
What do you mean she's just in the car for 2 hours?
Right. Right. Yeah.
Get out of the car. Yeah. You're a human.
Felt like there were things that could have been done to avoid that situation. But as a kid, you don't know about those things that could be done. You just know about the terror
and
of
no
Cujo.
One ever said, you know what? Maybe we ought to redo Cujo. And what that Cujo would be like in the 21st century.
I called the dog catcher on my cell phone.
Right. Oh, no, the cell battery's out. I don't have a charger.
My car's broke down and my cell phone's dead.
Oh, God, it's just not my day. Just not my day.
And there's a rabid dog outside. What are we doing?
That was when rabies.
Crazy coincidence.
When rabies was a scary thing, too.
Have a good show.
All right, thanks.
I will be listening for your breakdown.
All right, it's coming. First segment, we're going NBA Finals breakdown.
Right. Josh spent all night last night watching what could have been. Sorry.
Ouch. Oh. Someone had to take the L. Glad it wasn't me.
I just wish that two guys for the Heat would have shot like they were playing the Celtics.
If only, right?
Yeah.
All right, enjoy your weekend, boys.
Have a great weekend, guys.
Bye-bye.
Connor Happer Show starts now.